So glad that you are here. If you're visiting with us, or maybe you haven't been here in a while, Kevin's going through the book of James. And this morning we will be in chapter 3. And I do feel a little bit like we're living in end times, even though the lesson isn't like that. Kevin used slides this past Wednesday. Brett shaved his beard. I'm looking for Jesus to come back at some point. I feel like we're in end times. But no fear. Next Sunday, we will be back to normal. Brett's beard will be back, probably by church tonight. And my 457 slides will be enough for you to appreciate just listening to Kevin next Sunday. So you'll be good. Yeah, so we're going to be in James chapter 3. As we've journeyed through James, Kevin has mentioned this, and I would agree. You know, outside of the Gospels, I really don't know if there's a more practical book in the Bible to study and to pray through and to live out as far as, like, what does the life of a follower of Jesus look like than the book of James. All throughout the book, there's plenty of reminders. There's plenty of reality checks. There's plenty of gut punches. There's plenty of assurances. I mean, it's endless application. The past 2 weeks, if you weren't here, when those get up on the podcast, I really recommend you guys go back and listen to, you know, Kevin kind of walking us through where James says that faith without works is dead, you know, and it was wonderful to walk through that. And so as we transition from that segment of faith without works is dead to today in chapter 3, I think we get that first taste of application, right? James gives us the concept of our faith without works is dead. And then he dives right into some specific application. And today's application is taming the old tongue. Taming the old tongue. Now, as far as today goes, it's kind of like this, and I would say this is the case for pretty much all of James. We don't have a problem understanding what James is saying. There's no confusion. There's no convolution. There's no complication. Like, when you read through James, it's very clear, like, what he is saying. The problem comes with our willingness to submit to the clarity of what he's saying. Now, I have an older brother, and those of you who have siblings that are near in age, my brother and I are really close now, not so much growing up, right? And I remember there are several times where my dad would say, hey, don't, you know, fill in the blank. Most of the time it was stuff like, don't punch your brother in the face, don't lock him in the closet, you know, things like that. And of course, we would do those, and my dad would come in and be like, what part of don't punch your brother in the face did you not understand? And we'd be like, zero. Like we understood what you said. We just weren't willing to comply, right? I mean, and that's kind of how I feel like we are with James, and especially today. Today is not one of those passages where when you walk out, you go, man, you know, I bet there's about 20 different views on what there's one. There's one view. On today's passage, the thing that's going to come into play is, if we say, hey, what part of James chapter 3 did you not understand? You're going to say zero. The question is, how much of James chapter 3 are we willing to submit to? Are we willing to comply with and to implement in our lives? So let's read James chapter 3. We're going to be in verses 1 through 12 today. To start out, we'll read the passage. It says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. They are so long and are driven by strong winds, but they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing, and my brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. It's living, it's active, it's breathed by you, God. It's so rich, and it calls every one of us into account to draw us closer to you, to conform us more to the image of Jesus Christ. And we thank you so much for the person in the presence of your Holy Spirit that helps us to understand these words, helps evaluate our hearts and minds, and reveals to us where these words apply in our lives, and gives us the strength and the power in his presence to implement these things into our lives to be more like Christ. So Lord, as your word says this morning, I pray that we would not just be hearers of this word, but we would also be doers, so that we might be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, that which you predestined for us to be conformed to. And we pray these things in his precious name. Amen. Well, we do have a few points as we walk through this morning. Verse 1, I want to put a pin in that, okay? We're going to put a pin in that, and we're going to hang on to that just a little bit longer and come back to it again at the end, and we're going to start with verse 2. And the first thing that we see is that the struggle is real. The struggle is real. Hey, is there any way this can be on that screen back there, or is that not possible? May not be possible. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I just realized I did. Oops. Kevin, you should have told me not to do that. All right, so verse 2, we see that at the beginning of verse 2 in chapter 3, we see that the struggle is real because he says that we all stumble in many ways. We all stumble in many ways. Here's a statement that somebody, yes, you guys are awesome. There's many things that people have said to me that have kind of resonated with me and stuck with me. And this is a truth that I hope I never forget, that I want you guys to comprehend, that James is pointing out here at the first part of 2. He says we all stumble in many ways. It's simply this. We don't all struggle with the same thing, but we do all struggle with something. We don't all struggle with the same thing, but we do all struggle with something. You may say, like, well, what does that mean? How does that work? When we talk about struggling with our speech, struggling with our words, there's a lot of ways that can manifest itself in our lives, right? Some people struggle with gossip. Some people struggle with slander. Kevin did a great job a couple of weeks ago in the Cross Culture series on Wednesday nights talking about those two. Some people struggle with lying. Some people struggle with exaggerating the truth a little bit, maybe to ham up the situation, or maybe to bring a little bit more, you know, praise to us than what we deserve. Some people struggle with saying things in moments that they shouldn't. And some people struggle with not saying things in moments when they should, right? This is one of those things that it can manifest itself in a lot of different ways, and we won't all struggle with the same thing. And one of the things that's really tempting for us is when we don't struggle with something that somebody else struggles with, it's easy for us to kind of have somewhat of a judgmental spirit or a condescending spirit and be like, oh, why in the world does that person do all that? I can't relate. You know, that's a real temptation for all of us to do that. But when the truth of the matter is that, yeah, we don't all struggle with the same thing, but we do all struggle with something. There is something with all of us that we struggle with in how we use our words, or else James would not have said, for we all stumble in many ways. Here's what he says in verse 1. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by what? By his own evil desires. We all have something in us that we need to recognize, that the struggle to tame the tongue is real. It is real. And this morning, he's referring to specifically our speech and our words. Here's what he finishes in verse 2. He says, for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. So what he's saying is that the perfect person has perfect speech, right? Show of hands. How many of you in here were willing to admit that you're perfect? I'm putting mine down, by the way, just a little reference. Okay, so that's none of us. Glad you recognize that. That's also in the Bible, right? So we all recognize that none of us are perfect, which means none of us have perfect speech, correct? I was like a yes, no question. About as easy as it gets, right? You at least have a 50-50 shot. Yeah, that means that all of us have something that we struggle with. Another way to say it is it will not manifest itself in the same way for all of us, but it will manifest itself in some way for all of us, as we just mentioned. So clearly, I bet if all of us were honest, we would all say, yeah, it's not hard for us to grasp the concept that every one of us have moments where we've said something or we haven't said something, and we wish we would have done it different. We wish that life had that rewind button or that reset button. We could go back and do it over again. If you haven't been able to identify one of those moments in your life yet, just give it time. It's coming. It'll happen. Trust me, okay? Every parent in the room should be able to say amen, because we've all had moments where we wish we could go back and we could do it different, okay? Unlike Kevin, who has perfect children, but it's all right. It is what it is. Laura's genes. Okay, so we see that the struggle is real. The second thing that we see is that the impact is real. Not just that the struggle is real, but that the impact is real. And here's what I love about James, is that James gives us three really solid illustrations, right? He gives us three really solid illustrations to help us understand how this relates as far as the tongue and the power that the tongue holds in our lives. The first one is a bit in a horse's mouth. Look at verse 3. He says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so they obey us, we gather whole bodies as well. Now, I have to confess, I am not a horseman. I am not a horse rider, okay? I've been on a horse like maybe twice in my life. They intimidate me very much. If you see the end of Paul Blart Mall Cop, you understand how dangerous a horse can be when you slap it on its hindquarters. But the thing is that a horse is a dominating, right? I agree with Rick and Bubba. You should never have pets that could take you if they need to, right? So the thing is that I've never been on a horse, but I do understand the concept of a bit and reins and putting that bit in the horse's mouth. It gives you opportunities. It gives you opportunities to direct that horse. You can literally steer that horse and make it go in the direction that you're wanting to go, as well as the speed of the horse. And James is saying here, almost pulled Kevin, almost said Paul. You got me messed up now. James is saying here is that the tongue is the same way, just as a bit in a horse's mouth, right? Which is very small in comparison to the size and strength of the horse. He's saying that our tongues, right, our words, our speech, what we say and what we don't say can literally direct the directions of our lives. For example, like some of you are getting close to being in your senior year and you're interviewing for jobs, right? Your words can help you get a job. And one of the things that you'll find in life is that your words can also help you lose a job. You can't just say whatever you want to whoever you want, right? You have to bridle that tongue, right? It can literally change the direction in relationships, right? Well, your words can literally steer the direction of friendships into a relationship. It can also literally steer out of a relationship, right? Words are very, very strong and powerful. They can also change the speed of our life. They can make things just snowball. You guys ever been in a situation where like it starts to escalate and it starts to elevate, and all of a sudden you just stop and you go, how did we get here? Right? Like, how did it get this place this fast? 9 times out of 10, it's because of words just being thrown out there, just saying whatever without having any sense of filter or any sense of control, right? So we've got that concept of the horse and the bit in the mouth. He gives us another one of a rudder with a ship in verse 4. He says, look at the ships also, that they are so large and are driven by strong winds, and they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. Now, I definitely am not a boatsmith, but I've been on more boats than I've been on horses, okay? And so we can definitely understand this concept as well of the function of the rudder in regards to the boat. You just Google it, right? Like, what is the function of the rudder on a boat? And it just says that if a ship loses its rudder, It cannot steer, right? It's out of control. And the thing is that in the same way, if we lose control of our tongues, then we lose control of steering our lives. And in case you didn't know, it's kind of a big deal. Like an out-of-control ship can do some serious damage, right, given the right set of circumstances and the right course that it's going down. And it's the same way with us. Not controlling our tongues, not controlling our speech, says is like a ship without a rudder, right? It just goes along. And the third one is a forest fire, right? A forest fire. Now, because I'm a guy, I can definitely understand fire better than I can horses and boats, right? We're all, dudes just love, if you notice in the Bible, God speaks to men with fire. It's just how it is. Just ladies, if you want to get a guy's attention, just light a fire there. I don't know why. It's pretty cool, actually. I love it. But anyway, he says in verse six, right, or the end of verse five, he says, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, right? And he gives this illustration of how much damage it can do. You know, our words, he says, are like fire, which is an incredibly, incredibly powerful element. When used properly, fire can create some amazing things, right? I'm going to come back to that. See if I can go here. There we go. Like, I know people are vegetarians for various reasons, but man, I'm a carnivore through and through, man. And a good steak on a fire is just incredible, right? Like used with fire, if you don't like meat, I'd love to introduce you to Plainsman Pig Barbecue by Jonathan Middleton. And unless you have an allergic reaction, you're going to fall in love with it. All right. So fire can do amazing things. Anybody else blown away with like blown glass besides me? I mean, holy smokes, the stuff that they make, mesmerizing. Anybody like a good s'mores around a campfire? You know, anybody marshmallow burnt edges besides me? It's the only way to do it, right? You got to blow it out and then put it on there. Yeah. So as you can see, like fire is an incredibly powerful element. And when used properly, it can produce some really awesome things, right? And James says our words are like that, right? Our words are like fire. Like when used properly, they can do some really, really positive things. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. So hang on to that thought. But he also says the same thing. He says negatively. When used negatively, like how vast a forest fire can happen from one small spark. You know, you think about cars and houses or communities like in Hawaii, right? That same element of fire that can do awesome experiences like blown glass and s'mores and all these things for us can do incredible damage. And the difference between the two is how it's used. When used properly, some amazing things can come from it. And when used recklessly, does some serious and oftentimes life-changing damage that is hard to recover from. Warren Wiersbe says this. He says, both the bit and the rudder must overcome contrary forces. The bit must overcome the wild nature of the horse, and the rudder must fight the winds and currents that would drive the ships off course. The human tongue also must overcome contrary forces. We have an old nature that wants to control us and make us sin. And there are circumstances around us that would make us say things that we ought not say. Sin on the inside and pressure on the outside are seeking to get control of the tongue. This means that both the bit and the rudder must be under the control of a strong hand. The expert horseman keeps the mighty power of his steed under control, and the expert pilot courageously steers the ship through the storm. When Jesus Christ controls the tongue, then we need not fear saying the wrong things or even saying the right things in a wrong way. When Jesus Christ is the Lord of the heart, then he is the Lord of the lips too. That's a powerful statement, right? When Jesus Christ is the Lord of the heart, he's also the Lord of the lips as well. Thank you for covering for me on that, Laura. So we've seen the struggle being real and the impact being real. The last thing that, I missed that part. Well, by the way, my slides were corrupted when I pulled them in. Probably why you shouldn't do it. Yeah, there it is. Okay. Here we go. How many of you guys have ever heard this phrase? Don't. I know, like, open-ended questions in a college room is really dangerous. But we're talking about words, so use them appropriately. How many of you guys, like parents or adults working with children, what do they teach them? Don't what with fire? Yeah, don't play with fire. That's right. Okay. So I believe that James is saying here that we can substitute this to say the same thing. What should we not do with our words? Yeah, don't play with words. Okay. All right. So my transition is blown there. So let's see what I've got next. There it is. All right. So the effects are real. The effects are real. So we've seen the struggle is real. I think most of us can understand that. I think most of us, if not all of us, we understand the impact that's there. I love James's illustrations. But then the effects are real as well. Our words can have a major effect on our spiritual lives, on our relationship with God, on our relationship with others. You know, like James's illustrations, the effects can be both negative and positive. Consider some of these passages. I'll have them up here just so that you guys don't have to flip through, but like James chapter 1, right? Kevin covered this last month. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. It goes into that basket of faith without deeds is dead, right? And James says we can't just be loosey-goosey with our words and with our speech and expect our religion to be of value, our relationship with God to be of value. Romans, you know, when Kevin was going through Romans, Paul wrote in 16, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. These divisions that he's talking about come from speech. They come from attitudes. They come from things that people say. So used improperly, it taints our faith. It also causes great strife and division. Proverbs, known as the Book of Wisdom, Proverbs chapter 10 says, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. So being loosey-goosey with our speech here says that it taints our relationship with the Lord. It can cause a lot of strife and division, especially amongst other believers, which we should have unity. And then Proverbs says that we just loose with our lips and our speech, and we don't take that into consideration. Solomon says we're fools, we're foolish, and that our transgressions are not lacking. So that's just three passages. There's many more. But then there's also passages that give us the positives, right? Of when we guard our tongue and when we use our tongue in a way that honors the Lord and is Christ-like. Romans chapter 10 tells us that our words play a part in salvation, right? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Salvation being maybe the greatest miracle of all, right? And the power of our words bring us to that place of, you know, redemption and salvation with the Lord Jesus Christ. How about we study this in Venture? Those of you who are in Venture, right? 1 John 1:9 is an extremely powerful verse, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Our words bring us to a place of salvation. They also bring us to a place of confession and purification and restoration. All of these are very, very powerful things that can happen with our words. Proverbs 35, how about our words in a prayer, right? Using our words in a powerful way in prayer, right? Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad to say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his heart. Then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and your praise all the day long. Notice what he's saying here. Our tongues can do. Our tongues can share the gospel. Our tongues can worship. Our tongues can praise the Lord. Here's a really powerful prayer in Psalm 141. If you are like me and this is a constant struggle through your life, is Psalm 141:3 is a great verse to just pray regularly. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Lord knows for some of us, myself included, it takes the power of the Lord to tame our tongues. Keep watch over the door of my lips. You guys see the balance here, right? The effects that come with our words. And Warren Wiersbe shares this again that I think is really cool. He says, never underestimate the guidance that you give by the words you speak or do not speak. For Jesus spoke to a woman at a well, and her life and the lives of her neighbors experienced a miraculous change. Peter preached at Pentecost, and 3,000 souls came to salvation through faith in Christ. Yes, the tongue is like a bit and like a rudder. It has the power to direct. How important it is that our tongues direct people in the right way. In the right way. So go back the little caveat to verse 1 then, is many of us in this room teach, right? You may teach at MCG. You may be a table leader. You may work in children. You may work in youth. You may be at the Oaks Retreat. Whatever it is, whatever that application is where you have an influence and you have an impact on somebody else, look at what he says in chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. We've just seen the power, right? The importance and the power of our words and the impact and the effects that it can have. And Paul says, so just keep in mind then, those of you who teach, we are held. Be careful what you say. It influences other people. No, I'm just kidding. But James is saying that those of us who teach, right, where it's parenting, whether it's in a discipleship manner, whatever it is, he says, we got to be careful because we have a position of influence on somebody's life, and you can direct them in a very positive way, but you could also direct them in a way that doesn't honor the Lord. And so he says, so just know that and be careful with that. So here it is, right? As we said from the outset, understanding what James is saying is not hard. You know, we all can embrace the reality of the struggle of what we say, right? Of the impact of what we say and the effects of what we say. Where it's going to boil down to is our willingness to understand that, to let the Holy Spirit drill into our lives and to look at those areas that need to be transformed and conformed to the image of Christ. So what are some of our goals this morning in looking at chapter 3? Number one, to see and understand that struggling with our words is a reality for all of us. For all of us. Different areas are definitely more of a struggle than for others. Those of us who are outgoing and we like to talk a lot, some of those situations are probably more public and probably more seen. People who are a lot more introverted and a lot more reserved, right? Like you may not say as many things and therefore you don't have as many opportunities, but it doesn't mean that we don't all have something in there that we struggle with. And so the goal would be to identify where we struggle and identify how we let the Holy Spirit transform us into Christ's likeness in those areas. A second thing is to see and understand the impact that our words have in everyday life. Right, James talks about the impact that a bit has on a horse, or that a rudder has on a ship, or that a small fire can have in a greater scale. Same thing, how can we use our words to make a kingdom impact in the world that God has placed us in? The people we see regularly, the people that we see sporadically. You know, now within the days of social media, you can fold that under this umbrella as well, right? What is it that we're liking? What is it that we're sharing? What is it that we're reposting, right? If you ever say something, or you ever share something, and it comes under the caveat of some type of exception, you know, please excuse fill in the blank, but this is really funny. Well, should it be excused? Or should you just send something else out, right? Forgive me for my frankness. Well, should it be? Or should we just say maybe things are better left unsaid, or maybe you should bathe that more in a spirit of love rather than a spirit of whatever's there in its place? To see and understand that our words can have a huge effect on our spiritual and worldly lives, right? Understand that the effect that our words can have on our praise to God and what our words can have on sharing the gospel and our prayers to God, the openness and honestness that's